views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? I'm Rudy Racine, and you are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour as we talk about the why, when, and hows behind making a successful career transition. Each first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, we'll have some top career coaches and experts, and I'll do my best to help you figure out what's next in your career and how to make the best transition and jump as you grow in your career. We want to help you sharpen your skills and get you to the next level, and my role as your coach and as your host is to help you get to that next spot. So what are we going to talk about today in this first hour? We are talking specifically about making a career change, right? So why, when, and how. We're going to explore and basically help listeners determine when it's the right time to make the jump, whether it's jumping to another company or transitioning to another industry. I deal with clients and professionals every day that are trying to decide whether or not they want to leave their company or trying to determine if they're in the industry that is for them. And my goal is to help you to gain some clarity around your decision making. In the first segment of our show, we're going to talk about just the types of career changes we're referencing, whether it be moving on from one employer to the next and doing a similar job, or transitioning to an entirely new industry altogether, or even a different position, or just growing in the career that you're in. So elevating from a line staff to maybe a supervisory staff, or supervisor to manager, manager to director, or director to vice president. We are going to explore all of that during the next hour, and then I'll talk about why people typically consider career changes, when the right time is for career change, and then once you make that decision to change careers, what steps can you take to get you to that next level, and what steps can you take to get your resume looked at, to get you called for an interview, and then hopefully at the end of the day, receive a call offering you a position. So moving from one employer to the next, but doing a similar job. So you're in your job now, you like it, the people are great, but the responsibilities seem a little tedious, they seem a little redundant and boring, and you're trying to decide if you want to make a change, and go to another company. I think that's extremely normal. It's common for many professionals, especially around the holidays and, as you approach New Year's Day, and you're starting to create your goals for the following year. 2018 is upon us. You're thinking about your career. You're looking at what you do, and you want to know what the next step is. So it's completely normal for you to start making these lists, start thinking about what you want to do next. It's important during that time that you also consider how far you've come and appreciate how far you've come, even if you're at an entry-level position. If you're in an entry-level position and, this is your first job out of college, it's still very important to acknowledge how far you've come in that company and within that position. If you've been there for 3 months, that's 3 months more than the average new hire, right? So consider everything that you've gained, the experience that you've gained, and the relationships that you've built and the reputation that you've formed at that company. In doing that, you have to consider also, if you go to another company, how comfortable are you going to be building new relationships, establishing a new reputation? I know the longer you stay at a company, the harder it is to make that decision. In your first 90 days with a company, it's oftentimes easy to kind of leave the company for a better paying position. But when you've been with a company for 1 year, 2 years, maybe even 3 to 5 years, the reputation that you've built within that company, the friendships, the bonds that you've built with the people around you, sometimes it's more difficult and challenging to leave those relationships that you formed to go elsewhere. So at the time, you know, at this time of the year, when you are considering what your goals are for next year, start to also consider how willing you are to leave those relationships behind at your current company to form new relationships. And consider the reputation that you've built. You might be considered the top performer at your current company, the go-to man or woman, someone that is the all-knowing in certain areas. And the decision to move to another company and take on another position will sometimes put you in a position where you have to sacrifice that reputation that you built at your company. And working with so many professionals, I've found that they often like the shiny new career, shiny new position, the shiny new company, the company that they can tell their friends about, tell their family about, and celebrate about those new responsibilities that they've taken on. But what they often don't take into consideration and they don't take into account is the relationships that they're leaving. You have a new supervisor that you're going to have to build a relationship with. You have new coworkers that you're going to have to learn to coexist with. And you're going to go into it forming these relationships, but also not getting that special treatment that you may have achieved and earned with your new company. So moving from one employer to the next and doing a similar job, although it feels good, oftentimes feels good in the first 90 days, I call that the honeymoon period. After the honeymoon period, I often come across a number of professionals that want to go back to their old company, or they miss their former boss. They miss their coworkers, and they really just are not getting accustomed. They're not really meshing well with their new company. So before you make that decision to jump, it's very imperative that you define what it is that you want in the new company. If you want similar relationships to the ones that you have at your current company, you want to define that. Write that down. Write that down as something that you want. If your current relationship with your manager or supervisor or director is one that's strong and you're willing to make that leap to another organization, but you want to maintain that relationship with your new leadership team, write that down. What is it about those relationships that you have at your current employer? What is it? Is it the fact that you can go into your boss's office, because they leave their door open all the time? That's a characteristic that you want to make sure you're writing down when making a decision to go to another company, right? What else? Is this someone that in their management style, they are more empowering and they teach you more? They focus more on training and developing you than problem solving. If that's a characteristic that you find in the leadership at your current company and it's something that you enjoy, then write it down, because that's what you're going to want to communicate to your new employer when building that relationship. So that they know exactly how to manage you best. This is a give and take relationship. When you start a new job or even at a current company, the relationship that you have with the leadership at that company, it requires that you communicate what works best for you. And then you also are able to pay attention to their style so that there's some form of collaboration and compromise between you and the leadership. What about transitioning to a new industry or different position? I know I kind of jumped a little bit, but this is oftentimes if someone that is clear on the fact that they don't really care for their supervisor, they don't care for the leadership at their company, and they're really bored with what they do at their current company, and they're ready for a change, a complete change. Transitioning to a new industry or a different position is exciting. It's a change when it comes to your career. It might be an opportunity to make more money. But the challenge with transitioning to a new industry or a different position comes with the fact that you don't know what you're getting, right? You've never done that job before. You've never had those responsibilities. So this is new. And it, for many professionals, it's an exciting time. But it's exciting because it's new. But it can also be a challenge because you're sacrificing, once again, you're sacrificing how far you've come with your current company and the reputation that you've built with your organization. And you're taking a step out on chance because you don't know if you're going to like this. You don't know if you're going to do it well. Many of the professionals that I work with, they work to build that confidence level so that they can step out on faith and just make that decision to transition. And it doesn't matter how hard something is, they're going to work hard to achieve it. But in that first 90 days, your employer, that person that made a decision to hire you and thought you were the best person for the job, the patience level that they have with you in that first 90 days may vary. It may not be as similar as the leader that you worked for before. So there's a little bit of pressure there. And if you're willing to take on that pressure, the transition to a new industry or a new position is something that I think anyone can do, but it requires the level of confidence and it requires you to be patient with yourself to learn, even if your supervisor or manager is not as patient with you. The last type of career change that we'll reference, and we'll go into more detail in each of these, is growing into your career, growing into a more senior or elevated role. So you've been in your position for an extended period of time, and you feel like you've reached a level of confidence where you want to grow and you want to lead others, you want to train and develop others. And this is an exciting period as well in the career of a professional, because you know not only have you felt do you feel like you've mastered your position, but you also feel like you can teach someone else to master it at that same level. So when you're in that role, it's an exciting time. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But before we jump into it, we're going to take a quick break. So you are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll explore more on career changes, when it's the right time to make them. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
tune in to the hit show Raging Skillet Radio, mouthing off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
All right, we are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about making career changes, transitioning to a new career, or choosing to aspire to something greater than where you currently are, to grow in your career. Before I continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me. You can reach me at rracine, that's R-R-C. Hold on, let me say that again. Edit that out, please. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me. You can reach me via email at rracine@higherlearners.com. That's R-R-A-C-I-N-E at higher, H-I-R-E, learners.com. You can also reach me by visiting our website at www.higherlearners.com. That's higher learners, H-I-R-E-L-E-A-R-N-E-R-S. Okay, so we talked about the types of career changes when making a transition. We talked about employees wanting to move on to a new employer but doing a similar job. We also discussed the possibility of transitioning to a new industry or a different position altogether. And then finally, we discussed another type of career change that we're going to reference during this show, and that's growing your career to an elevated position or a more senior position. So why do people typically choose to make a career change? I talked a little bit about it earlier when, you know, at this time of the year, it's the start of a new year. 2018 is upon us. And professionals just want to grow and they want to make a change in their career. And this is around the time when they start to think about it. Also, within a professional career, you also find that there are peaks and valleys in every position. There are peaks and valleys, right? There are highs and lows. And many professionals, what will often happen is when they're faced with a valley, when they're faced with a low, they had a bad day or a bad week, that's typically when they start to really think about, is this company for me? Is this position for me? Do I really want to be here? There are also professionals that when they hit a peak, when they have a really great week or they have a really great day, they start to consider, you know what? You know, I feel like I'm at the top of my game. I need a new job. I need a new profession. I need more money. This company needs to promote me. I had a job. I had a vice president that I worked for. That would often tell all of the new hires. He would say, there are peaks and valleys in every career, and you never want to make a decision on your career at a peak or at a valley. You never want to make a decision at a high or at a low. Why is that? Because your emotions are high or your emotions are low, and it makes it challenging to think clearly about the next steps. You know, it's short-term thinking because you're so focused on today or this week that you're not factoring in, you're not acknowledging everything that you've done within that company. I talked about that earlier as well. When you're choosing to make a career change, you have to acknowledge how far you've come, and you also have to define how far you want to go and grow, right? You want to define success. What does success look like for you? So it's important that you truly decide if you're unhappy or if you're just having a bad day or week at work. My recommendation in this stage is to list the pros and cons that come with making a change and list the pros and cons that come with staying. All right. So what are the things that you love? What are the pros that come along with staying with your company? And I talked a little bit about the relationships that you've built. It might even be how close you live to your office. It might be the fact that there's a gym right around the corner from your office. So you're able to focus on the your fitness and your health and wellness beyond just work. All of these things are things that if you have a bad day at work, you start to discount or you don't even acknowledge because you're focused so heavily on that bad day or that bad week. So when you're prompted to make a decision about making a career change, you want to list the pros and the cons. What are the good things that come along with your current job? What are the good things that might come along with a new position? What are the cons that come along with your current position? Whether it be the relationships you have with your coworkers, you're not really a fan of them. Whether it be you feel like your current supervisor or manager doesn't develop you well, these are all things I want you to consider when you're choosing to make a change. And then, as I mentioned earlier, a con may be, the fact that jumping to a new company will force you to have to build new relationships with the management team and new relationships with your coworkers. It's like being in a relationship, right? So you're dating someone for an extended period of time and then you break up. And many people in those cases will, they struggle to start a new relationship because anybody that they meet, any new person they meet, they're comparing to their last relationship they were in. And just be prepared to do that with your career and with your professional life. Every position that you've held up until this point has given you a view and given you an idea of what professionalism and careers look like and what they're supposed to look like, quote unquote. So when you move into a new domain, if you move to a new organization and that organization does not match what you're accustomed to, it may be a challenge for you. I'll give myself as a story or as an example for you all, for you listeners out there. So you have an idea of my career background and the transitions that I made. So I worked for an organization. I worked in it was a retail management company. I started as a management trainee with them, and I worked there for about I was within my maybe first 3 to 6 months, and I didn't really care for it. Right, it was a rent a car company. I won't go into the company name, but it was a rent a car company I was working as a management trainee for, and I didn't like the job. I didn't really care for the fact that I was washing cars in my suit. That was something I didn't like, right? So I immediately started looking for another job. Thankfully, that company had an amazing management team that helped me to think about my decision and take a step back from, washing the car in my best suit on a day and take a step back and think about also the training and the relationships that I built. And in doing that, I was able to also focus on what I enjoyed about that job. And one of the things that I enjoyed the most was, when customers would come in, I would talk to them about the training that I received, and they would ask if this company was hiring, and I would be like, yeah. And I really enjoyed referring people to positions, referring them for this management trainee position. And as a result, an opening came up with that company, and it was a no-brainer for me that I wanted to apply for their recruiting position. All right. So yes, I may not have liked washing cars in a suit, but I enjoyed interacting with people. I enjoyed referring people for this management trainee program. So when a recruiter position opened up, it was a no-brainer. When I got promoted to that recruiting position, there were aspects of the position that, it's easy. It's very easy for anyone to talk about what they don't like about a job, right? So think about yourself when you get home from work. How easy is it to talk about what went wrong with that day? I think human nature, it's easier for us to complain than it is for us to identify the things that we're grateful for. And this was something that I struggled with as well early on in my career. But as a recruiter, I enjoyed hiring interns. I was responsible for hiring interns for their summer intern program, and I was responsible for rolling out the internship. And thankfully, I was able to focus on that aspect of the position. I enjoyed interviewing. I enjoyed working with college students and helping them to grow in their career and helping them to secure positions that will get them experience before they graduate. So when a recruiting supervisor position opened up, it was once again a no-brainer. I was going to go for it. I wanted to grow into that role because I enjoyed that aspect of the position, hiring, giving professional feedback and advice, and working with college students. When this company that I worked for started to struggle and they went on a hiring freeze, once again, I was at a point where I wasn't sure if I wanted to make a transition or if I wanted to stick it out. When I chose to look elsewhere and look at another company, I found a higher education organization. I found a college, and it was a no-brainer once again, because as much as I enjoyed working with college students to help them grow into a management trainee position, I realized that what I loved more was just working with college students. So it made sense for me to transition into a director of career services role that involved working with college students across the board, and you know, regardless of their major, and helping them to grow into a position that was within their career field. All right. Each time I made a transition in my career, I was able to focus on the pros and the cons and make a decision based on that and take a step back. So I encourage you and I implore you, when you are considering making a career change, you want to do that. Another question I want you to ask yourself, or another series of questions that I want you to ask yourself, is what would you gain by making a career change, right? If the answer is just money, and money is not what's most important to you, I need you to ask yourself that question again. Zoom in. What else? Ask yourself, what else? What else can I gain by making a career change? And then when you're done making that list, ask yourself, what would I be giving up if I choose to make this career change? All right. And if it's the money, if you're only coming up with one thing, once again, you got to ask yourself, what else? This is an exercise that you must take and must do to really make that decision. All right. And then lastly, or primarily, actually, this is a question that I think you should ask before all else, is what is most important to you? Right? What is the most important thing to you? And before we jump into that, I'm going to take one more break. So just really quickly, you are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will explore when it's the right time to make a change. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
All right, we are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about career transitions and when to make the decision to make a career change. Before we continue, I want to make sure everyone knows how to contact me once again. You can reach me at www.higherlearners.com. That's Higher Learners, H-I-R-E, learners.com. You can also email me at rracine@higherlearners.com. That's rracine@higherlearners.com. Higher Learners is H-I-R-E, learners. All right, now that we have that out of the way, we were talking about why people make a career change and when it's the right time to make a change. We talked about three questions you want to ask yourself. The first is, what's most important to you? So for some people, it's money. For some people, it's time. For some people, it's the relationships and the title. Each of these things may be important to you. And if everything I just mentioned is important to you, you want to list them and rank them in order of importance. Because in order to be successful, in order to achieve success, it's important to understand and realize that success is subjective, right? Success is subjective. That means it's different based on the person that you ask. If I ask 100 people in a room, what is success? It's very likely that I will get 100 different answers. If I ask 100 people what a successful career looks like, you might find some that say it's someone that has control over their own time. You might have some that say it's someone that's making over $1 million. Someone might say it's someone that's making over $1 billion. So it's important to understand that success is subjective. And when you are defining what success looks like for you, the only person that can define that is you. So in that exercise, when you are choosing to make a career change or going through that process of considering to make a career change, be mindful and be aware that you want to define what is most important to you. And then after you've defined what's most important to you, you also want to discover what you would gain from making a career change and also determine what you would be giving up when you choose to make that jump, take that leap. All right. So when is the right time for change? Just like I discussed with regards to success, the right time to make a change is always defined by you. Now is always a good time, but now may not, and I say that for me, now is always a good time to consider it and to explore new opportunities. But as far as making that jump and choosing to accept another position, now may not be the right time. You may feel like there's more that you can learn. There's more that you can do and accomplish. And there's more money that can be made at your current organization before choosing to go somewhere else. But you have to define that. All right. And exploring new opportunities, as I mentioned, does not mean you have to quit your job and go somewhere else. It just means that you're raising your awareness of what's out there at all times. All right. What I encourage a lot of my clients to do, even when they're happy in their company and happy in their position, is just to do a search. Go online, go on Indeed.com, go to a competitor's website, check to see what opportunities they have available. Right. Look at the job description. Look at the responsibilities listed in that job description and say and ask yourself, is this something that if I wanted to leave my company today, would I be able to apply for this position? If the answer is yes, then you're in a good position because you're flexible now. You're choosing to stay with your current company, but you are capable of jumping to another company at any given moment, into a higher level position potentially. But you want to always know what's out there. Exploring new career opportunities does not mean you have to quit your job. Choosing to go on an interview does not mean you're going to go and leave your job and accept a position somewhere else. It's just raising your awareness to the opportunities that exist elsewhere. And also, it helps you to understand your worth, right? Your current company may not realize, they may not express their appreciation to you every day. They may not tell you how great you are at the company that you're at every day. But the minute you start looking, I guarantee you, if another company wants you, they will definitely let you know how much you are worth and how much they're willing to invest in you as a professional. And I know many of you out there listening may have been in a position once or before where you submitted your 2 weeks notice. You resigned from your current position. And it was at that moment when you resigned that your company started coming down and asking you what it would take to get you to stay. They asked you how much money you wanted or how much money you were getting from the other company, so that they can try to match that salary. Think about that. Think about that. What if you were with your company for 2 years, 3 years, and not once did they have this conversation with you? But the moment you decide that you're ready to leave, that's when they're having this conversation with you. Makes you think, doesn't it? Right? So you want to know your value, because when you know your value, then you'll feel more comfortable going to your current company, looking for that recognition and appreciation. And then you might also feel more comfortable asking for that salary increase. Now, keep in mind, I'm not encouraging you to walk into your boss's office tomorrow and ask him for a raise or ask him for a raise. But I want you to know your worth. I want you to know your value. And the best way to find out what your worth and value is to find out, is to interview with other companies, to apply for other positions, and see how much interest you get. All right. And when you get that interest, now you have leverage. You actually have leverage over your company. And now you don't want to take advantage of that. You may not be the type of person that wants to hold that over their heads, and I'm not encouraging you to do that. But it is important for you as a professional, you as an employee, to know how much you're worth, know your value. And it is also the company's responsibility to know the value of their human resources. And I'm not talking about the department. I'm talking about you, the person that works in the company, that carries out what the purpose of that company is, that carries out the vision and the mission of that organization. All right. But all of that to say, you want to know your worth. When you're applying for different positions, if you find that you're not getting responses from companies, that may not have anything to do with you. It might have to do with your resume. So you want to take a look at your resume and consider how strong your resume is, how much it sells you to an organization. And that's another opportunity when you are exploring new opportunities out there. It's an opportunity to see how strong your resume is, because it might not be the experience that you're bringing to the table. It might just be the piece of paper that's out there selling the experience that you bring to the table. I encourage you to ask your colleagues for feedback. Obviously, you don't want to let people in the company know that you're looking to leave, but you can talk to peers outside of the work and just professionals that are in your industry for feedback. Also, you want to factor in. It's also important that you consider that when you ask for feedback, guess what you get? You get feedback. When you ask for feedback, you get feedback. So keep that in mind. What I mean by that is, if you're asking for feedback on your resume and you think it's great, no matter who you ask, they're going to look at your resume and they're potentially going to give you feedback, right? And this is something that I deal with professionals all the time, because they ask for feedback on the resume, and when they get feedback, they'll often ask somebody that's in HR, right? So a friend of mine that's in HR said I should do this, or a friend of mine that got the same job that I want told me I should do this to my resume. It's imperative that you understand two things. The first is, when you're asking friends that are not recruiters or hiring managers for feedback on the resume, and they tell you what they did on their resume that helped them get a job, oftentimes, the experience that's represented on their resume is different from the experience that's represented on your resume. So the feedback that they give you will often be feedback on the formatting of your resume, right? It's the format. Oh, I recommend that you change this format. Put this here. Put this there. This is what I did with my resume. Keep that in mind. So just because you modify your resume and change it to the format that matches your friends or matches the recommendations that your friend made, does not mean you'll get the same results, because oftentimes the difference is the experience on your resume differs. So keep that in mind. The second point that I'll make to you, when you are choosing to explore new opportunities and you're using your resume to do that, is that a good resume is, like success, subjective, right? Depends on the recruiter or the hiring manager that's looking at it. Every recruiter you ask for feedback on your resume may have a different opinion. And it's important that you understand that, because when you're applying for positions, you're putting your resume out there to thousands of recruiters. You know, if you post your resume on Indeed.com and you have recruiters searching your resume, these are different recruiters that have different perspectives, different opinions. So you will find that some recruiters think your resume looks great when another recruiter might think it's awful. All right. Your goal is to ensure that your resume is clear and able to communicate the skills and abilities that you bring to an organization. You want it to be easy to read and something that's not going to spend that a recruiter is not going to have to spend 6 hours reading. Because I will tell you right now, as a former recruiter, it's unlikely that they will read every single bullet on your resume. I like to equate your resume to fishing bait. All right. So I've only been fishing once, but I think I get the analogy where your resume is meant to is to go out there to sell you when you're not there to sell yourself. Right. So you put it out there as bait when you're applying for different positions. And if you find that you're not getting bites, if you're not getting calls from recruiters, then maybe you want to pull it in and adjust that bait and then put it out there again. I come across so many professionals that spend so much time trying to perfect their resume before putting it out there, before applying to any positions. And I think that's a bad idea, right? You miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So if you're not applying for positions, somebody else is, and they have a better chance. They have a higher percentage of a chance to get called from a recruiter than you do because you're not even applying, right? Put your resume out there and get it out there so that people can consider it. And if you find that you're not getting answers, getting responses back from an employer, then maybe you want to tweak it. And before, we're going to go to break now. But when we get back, we'll talk about how to increase your chances of getting an interview when you've chosen to make that career transition. Very quickly, we're going to break, but you are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will continue to explore making a career transition. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Said to a friend, I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special. Or how about, I am working on getting a job I love. Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love. While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ElitetarotT.com.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
right, we are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. We are talking about making a career change and executing on that career change. We've been discussing defining success and listing the pros and the cons with your current position and defining what it is that you want in your new position. And when we left off before break, we talked about your resume and how it's meant to sell you when you're not there to sell yourself. And how it's used as bait, right? So you want to make sure that you're putting it out there to employers so that you have a chance of them contacting you back. My quote that I shared is a Wayne Gretzky quote. It's that you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So when you're looking and considering a career change, you want to make sure that you are putting yourself out there, giving yourself an opportunity to be contacted by a recruiter. So let's say hypothetically you've started to apply for positions. You have your resume out there. And you are not getting calls back. It's imperative that you evaluate your search, right? You got to think about how you're approaching your search. This is a common mistake by many professionals. They will often either post their resume on a job search website, oftentimes it's Indeed.com, or they'll rely on their LinkedIn profile page to get bites from recruiters. And that's all they do, right? So they're just relying on putting their resume on a website and waiting for somebody to call them. There are others that will actively or proactively go on Indeed, go on LinkedIn, search different companies' pages and apply for those positions. But then they stop, right? So you've applied for a position, you've submitted your application or your resume, and now you're just waiting to get a call back. In the event that you do that, it's important that you realize that there are so many other professionals that are taking that same approach, right? When you are choosing to make a career transition, or if you're choosing just to start your career search, it's important that you set yourself apart from your competition. Your competition is applying. Many of your people in your that are in your competition are applying for jobs and just waiting to get a call back, right? I equate applying for a position online to taking your resume, putting it down on a desk, and then walking away. And behind you, there are thousands of other people that are taking their resume and putting their resume on top of yours and walking away, right? So doing that leaves a stack of resumes on top of that table. And it's up to the recruiter now to pick your resume out before they call. What is the likelihood that they're going to pick your resume out of a stack of 100 or a stack of 1,000 other resumes? Chances are slim. It's not guaranteed that it's not going to happen. But your chances are lower if you are just relying on the recruiter to find you. All right. It's like playing the lotto. Chances are low. All right. So what can you do to increase your chances? That's when the real work starts, right? So when you've applied for a position, the real work has begun. The first step is doing research on the company that you've just applied to, right? Finding out who works there. If you know if you're connected to someone that's working there, that's your opportunity to reach out to a friend. I think many professionals, the mistake that they made when they're in a career search or they've chosen to look for other career opportunities is they'll reach out to a friend and say, hey, is your company hiring? Are there any jobs that they would consider me for? Think about that, right? So now by asking that question, you're asking your friend to do your job for you, right? To search for positions for you. What if you were to switch that? What if you were to research the company first? Look at the positions that were available, apply to the position, then reached out to your friend and said, hey, Jane, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I noticed that you work for XYZ company. They actually posted this management position that I'm really interested in and I applied for it last week. Is there anything you can do to help me get an interview? Wow, look at that. So now you've already done the research. You know that they're hiring. The only thing that your friend has to do is potentially connect you to a hiring manager or just forward your resume to a recruiter. Doesn't give you a 100% chance that you're going to get an interview, but it increases your chances significantly. So be mindful of that. You got to do the work. If you don't know anyone that works for the company, the next step is maybe researching that company, finding out who the recruiter is for your region or for your area. And you know, a few days, maybe a week after you've applied for the position, sending a follow-up email just to introduce yourself, connecting with them on LinkedIn and saying that you are extremely interested in working for their company. You came across the opportunity. You feel like you're the best person for the job and you love the opportunity to potentially interview for that role. Once again, no guarantee that you'll get a response, no guarantee that you'll get an interview, but it increases your chances, right? It flags their attention, or it calls their attention to you, the candidate. It makes them look for your application now if they do get that message. And yes, there are some of us professionals that feel like, oh, I'm annoying the hiring manager. I don't want to be that person. But I will tell you, as a former recruiter, the candidates that would often get the interviews the fastest were the ones that called me. And as annoying as it was for me as the recruiter, that doesn't mean I didn't hire some of these annoying candidates. It just means at that moment in time, when I got a phone call at 9 a.m. or 9:30 a.m. on a Monday from a candidate that just submitted their application at 9 a.m. on a Monday, as annoyed as I was because they didn't give me a chance to find their application on my own, oftentimes if I looked at the application while they were on the phone and they qualified, that person would get an interview, right? So think about that. The annoying person got the interview, and the not annoying person is sitting at home waiting for a call, all right? You could have been that person. Now, I'm not encouraging you to start calling recruiters at 9:05 a.m., 5 minutes after you've submitted an application, but just be mindful of the fact that there are some professionals that will take their career search to the next level and increase their exposure to hiring managers and recruiters by simply taking the time to reach out to them with a professional message that says, hey, I'm over here and I'm really interested in your company. By doing that, you may open a lot more doors than sitting on your application or sitting on your resume and waiting for someone to call you back. All right. Words of advice for you. So let's recap what we've discussed on this show. I know we've been talking a lot about making a career transition. In the first segment, we first wanted to know what types of career transitions people typically make. We talked about moving from one employer to the next. We also discussed transitioning from one industry to a completely different position, something that you're not accustomed to. And we talked a little bit about the risks that you take when you make that choice, make that decision. And then lastly, we touched on growing in your career and elevating and looking for positions that will allow you to elevate to a more senior position. We jumped into making the decision, or so why people consider career changes, and we talked about peaks and valleys, right? So trying not to make a decision about your career when you're at a peak, when you're at a valley, and when you're doing, when you are making that decision, choosing to list the pros and the cons that come with making a decision, making your change, and listing the pros and the cons that come with staying where you are. And lastly, defining what is important to you and understanding what is important to you in your next career. I can't tell you how many professionals I've come across that apply for a position with my company because they just want to change, right? Oh, I need something new. I just want to change. I think this might be it. But if I were to ask them, what change are you looking for? What exactly are you looking for that's different than your current organization? They struggle to answer that question. Because they don't know. They just know they want something different. So if you continuously choose to make a decision that is solely based on your desire for change, but you don't define what that change should look like, you are at the mercy of the company that you work for, the hiring manager, or the manager that you're reporting to. So take the time to define what is important to you. And after you've defined what's important to you, do not hesitate to explore new opportunities. You are not cheating on your employer by looking for new jobs. You are understanding your worth and your value, and you're seeing how well you compare to other job seekers in the market. All right, so think about that. Last and certainly not least, finding decision makers and knowing what to ask for. All right, so we talked about when you've applied for different opportunities, you got to know what your ask is. Don't waste your ask on asking them if their company is hiring. That is a wasted question, all right? Because you'll often get that one chance to ask them a question, right? So if you're going to ask one question, don't ask them if their company is hiring. Why? Because you can find that out on your own. You can go on that company's website and get the answer on your own. Don't ask them if there are positions at their company that you might like. How is someone else going to tell you if you're going to like it? You would know that answer better than anyone, right? So take the time to research the job descriptions. Look at the minimum responsibilities and the duties that you would have in these new positions or in the new position that you're researching. And take the time to determine, is this something that I might enjoy? You know, how much of this am I doing at my current company? How much do I like it? what aspects of my current position do I enjoy? What aspects of my current position do I not enjoy that I can do without of? Right. So if you know that, if you can list the things that you enjoy and the things that you don't enjoy, that is the first step to really defining what it is that you want. I talked about my career and, you know, how I went from working for as a management trainee to then being a recruiter to then being a director of career services. And in each position, I let the things that I enjoyed about my position shape the next. As a management trainee, I enjoyed talking about the program and referring people to get hired, which led me to be a recruiter. As a recruiter, I enjoyed working with college students and helping them with their career and helping them secure a position in their career, which led me to explore working in career services. The next position after I worked as a director of career services, I was a workforce development. I worked with people that were receiving cash assistance or public assistance or welfare from the city of New York. The reason I chose to make that transition was while I was in a college, I enjoyed working with college students, but I didn't want to be limited to just working with college students. I wanted to be able to help people that couldn't afford to go to the college. I wanted to help them find jobs as well. So as you're making your decision to leave your company or to find a new career, it is imperative that you think back to how far you've come and focus on what you've enjoyed and let those things shape your next level or next step in your career. So a few parting messages before we wrap up. The first is mindset. Having the right mindset is the most important factor when you're making a career transition. All right. So believing in yourself, believing in your abilities is imperative. Right. You got to be in the right mindset. Define success. As I mentioned earlier, before you can execute a successful career search, you must first define what success looks like to you. Do not let your parents, your significant other, your friends, your family define success for you. Because what happens when that happens is oftentimes you're disappointed. Sometimes they're spot on and they know you, but other times you will not be happy and you're in a similar position. Get comfortable with your ask and believe in yourself. So with that, my friends, I will just say success starts in your mind. Define what it looks like for you. Ask for it, believe in yourself, and execute on your plans. You got this. I want to thank you all for sharing this time with me. I look forward to talking to you again on our next episode of the Higher Learners Podcast. I had an awesome time. Please join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 p.m. Pacific. Next week, I will talk more about careers. You can reach me at higherlearners.com, H-I-R-E, learners.com, or rracine@higherlearners.com. Thanks so much. See you back next time.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.